This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مُبَارَكٌ فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Firstly, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear respected brothers and sisters, we come to another session of the Quranic themes. Okay, there are many themes in the Quran, and we're going to just look at different themes in this series. One of those we covered last week was to keep a balance, okay, a balance in many things. Another theme is that the human being, okay, because the Quran has come down to specifically if you ask the question, why did the Quran come down? Well, the Quran came down because it wants to join, okay, the makhluq, which is the creation, with the khaliq, who is the creator. Okay, that's the whole purpose of the Quran. There are many reasons why the Quran has come down. Allah Azza wa Jalla has said hudan, it's a guidance. He has said a reminder. Allah said shifa, it will cure. Allah has said it's hidayah, it's guidance. Allah has said it's a book from Allah Azza wa Jalla so that people can go out from darkness into light. لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسِ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Many different reasons have been given. But if you summarize all of them, you get one thing, which is Allah sent this book to make the creation be connected with the creator. That's the whole purpose of this book. Because Allah is the Khaliq, is the creator. He created the heavens and the earth, He created the human being. And the human being, or the jinns, being the makhluk, the creation, often they break off from the Khaliq, from the creator. And there are many dangers for this to happen. So one example many, you know, great scholars have given, okay, is imagine somebody is flying a kite. Okay, imagine somebody is flying a kite. Now the kite, just imagine the kite has got its own sense of, you know, being aware and having its own thoughts and independency. Okay, so the kite, if you look at it, it's flying high in the air, right? There's wind that's keeping it afloat, and sometimes the kite is going towards the left and sometimes towards the right, but overall the kite is having a really good time in the air. Now the only one problem the kite has is that it's stuck to something, right? There's something in its tail that it's pulling it. So it's pulling it somewhere, sometimes to the right, to the left. Okay, the kite can't see from high up there. The kite can't see the person on the ground who's actually got, you know, the string, in the other end of the string in his hand, and obviously he's controlling the kite. Now imagine the kite can't see that. But the kite has a problem, which is, if only it could be free, okay? If only it could be free of this tail, this string that is catching it, and it can't, you know, go where it wants to go. It wants to fly very, very far. It wants to fly and fly and fly and see the entire world, okay? So imagine if the kite had a choice and the kite could cut its string off, okay? And the kite actually thinks that, you know what, by cutting the string off, I'm going to be totally free. What would happen to the kite if it cuts it off? What's going to happen? It's not only going to fall down, but it's going to go for a crash landing somewhere. It's going to probably get caught up in a tree somewhere, probably in water somewhere else. We know for sure that kite's not going to be flying. Now, some scholars have given this example to say that the makhluk or the creation has got, you know, the makhluk and the creation has got certain things that bind it. If the creation feels that it wants to completely cut itself off from the invisible Khaliq, from the invisible creator, there's going to be disaster for this human being. This human being will cause disaster for itself. That's why the Quran has come down, which is to make a bond between the creation and the creator. Now, last week we covered about this balance, okay? And one of the things the Quran does is that it explores who the Khaliq is. It explores who the Creator is. Another thing the Quran does is it explores who the human is. Okay, so it wants to join the makhluk, the creation, the humans and jinns as well, to the Khaliq, but it clearly shows us what the human is, what Allah Azza wa Jalla is, and it will also show how the connection is. So we're going to now discover these one by one, right? So straight away, I'm going to get to the human being. In this session, the theme is going to be about the human being, because the human being, if it's not analyzed properly, then the human being may not understand himself, herself. And if we can't understand the human being, we can't understand the actual makhluk or the creation that Allah wants to address. Okay? And its limitations, the limitations of the human being. Next time we will look at Allah Azza wa Jal as the Khaliq. And we'll also look at the how Allah wants to connect the human, the humans, the jinns, which is the makhluk, the creation, to the Khaliq, to the Creator. All right? Now, the human has been described in the Holy Quran. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has sometimes called it insan, which is the human being, and sometimes Allah has said annas, which is people. Now, there are limitations that the human being has, many limitations. Of those limitations, one of the biggest things that the human has is the human, like insan, okay, insan has been taken from a word from Arabic which has uns, which is familiarity. The human likes to connect itself to things that it's familiar with. And the human does not like to connect itself with things that it's unfamiliar with. Right? This has always been the case with the human being. Like, you drop a human being somewhere where either he can't speak the language or he finds these people a bit, you know, different to him, the culture is different. The more differences you find, the more unfamiliar things you find between this human being and other human beings, he will, you know, be closed up, or she will be closed up. The more familiar things you find with a human being and many other people, or some people, or one person, the more they're going to connect up. So one of the first things you have to understand is that the human being, it's a good thing where, you know, we're people who connect up with others who we can get on with. But it's a bad thing when the human being is so accustomed to certain things that he finds it alien, or he finds it very far-fetched that he can connect himself up with something that he's not accustomed to. Right? And one of those things is the Quran. Because when the Quran came down, the word of Allah came down to the human being, one of the first questions was, it's so puzzling that this Quran would be sent to another human being, right? This Quran would be sent to another human being. And Allah Azza wa Jal discussed this in Surah Yunus, which is Surah number 10, right at the beginning. Allah Azza wa Jal says, أَكَانَ لِلنَّاسِ عَجَبًا أَنْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ. That does the do people have an unfamiliar experience, and they have a question, an objection, and they find that it's really strange that we have inspired to a man from amongst them, that we've inspired to another human being. Okay, so this is one of the things. Now, the other thing is the human being, when it is unfamiliar with something, it starts to create suspicion and doubt. Or it will start to justify itself, or, you know, justify his own sort of thoughts, that this thing that I'm unfamiliar with, I'm not going to just basically believe it. I'm not going to put it into my system. Belief, trying to believe in something requires someone to examine it, to come in contact with it. And one thing a lot of people have done, a big mistake the humans have done, is that they have rejected Allah because they weren't even familiar with what Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, or who Allah is, or what his Quran is saying, what his speech is saying. And a disease of the many diseases that the human being can have is raib, which is being doubtful of something. If a person has doubt of, let's just say, for example, a doubt whether something is actually yours, that doubt can continue to grow and grow, and you probably would never satisfy this person. So from the balance that we talked about last week, one of the things that the human being has to balance is the world of familiar things and unfamiliar things, and the world of accepting things and rejecting things. He can't just reject things because he's unfamiliar with it, right? So what happens here is that, let me go back and say, if I said to you, like a lot of people know, I'm just going to get a random example, okay, from my head, okay? So let's just say the Harry Potter books, right? Many people know about the Harry Potter books. And they were written by this woman called J.K. Rowling. Okay? This is just a random thing, then I'll come back to the Quran. So the thing is, the Harry Potter book series was written by, authored by J.K. Rowling. And it's a fact, well-known fact. Now let's say, for example, somebody has doubt in this. Let's say somebody has doubt in this. So they say, well, how do we know whether J.K. Rowling wrote these books? Okay, there's an objection to this. So we say, look, it's, you know, her name's all over the thing. Well, how do we know that she actually wrote this? She could have got somebody else to write it, and she put her name on the books. Right? You say, well, okay, let's go and interview J.K. Rowling. So imagine somebody interviews and says, oh, did you write the book? She said, yes, I wrote the books. The person who's got doubt will say what? Will say what? How do we know she's not lying? Here she is, she's the author, she's been interviewed, and she says, I wrote this book. And the person will say, how do you know she's not writing? Okay, she says, okay, I'll give you proof. Proof is, I'll show you my writing, all right? I'll show you my writing. When I wrote it with the pen, these chapters of, you know, this series, let's say book number 6, I've got chapters from there, book number 5. I've got written pieces where I wrote it with my own handwriting. Now she produces that. What will the person of doubt say? How can we confirm that she hasn't written this after the book was published? All right? Or how do we know that while whoever was writing it, that she never had access to that person? Right? And she saw what they were writing, so she just copied it with her own handwriting. Do you guys understand? The thing about doubt is it will carry on killing the human being. This is just one of the weaknesses of the human being. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal, He started the Quran by saying, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابْ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. If you approach this Quran, or if you approach even, let's just say, for example, we are believers. The first thing is to non-believers, we're going to say, don't pick up this Quran and have doubt as a human being. Why? Because if you start with all this doubt, give it a chance. You know, at least look in the book, examine the book, read the book, compare the book with other books and so on, and then come to a conclusion. Don't just come with a whole doubt of heart, I'm unfamiliar with this book. Oh my God, I'm going to reject this book because I'm not too happy with taking something in my belief system that I'm not too accustomed to, right? Don't do that, okay? But to the believers, we are believers. Why are we believers as human beings reading La Rayba Fi? Why? Because there is a message for us that we as Muslims should not have doubt in the things that we believe or practice. So for example, you find many Muslims will say that my dua doesn't get accepted. One of the reasons why the dua doesn't get accepted is because you've got this element of doubt inside you. That you're making dua, but you kind of believe inside you that I know I'm making this dua, but I kind of know that my dua is not going to be answered. That's a form of doubt. And that's a human weakness. So Allah is saying to us, the opposite of doubt is yaqeen. It is full, you know, belief and conviction that this is the absolute truth. So if you look interestingly, in the beginning of Surah Baqarah, Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. And then a couple of ayats later, He says, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And in the afterlife, they have a very deep, you know, sense of conviction, belief that this is the truth. Okay? So Allah moves from doubt and not accepting anything to having full connection and belief and deep, you know, they have deep sort of belief and acceptance that this Quran is the right thing. And this is what Allah Azza wa Jal is trying to show the human being, that one of the balances you've got to give yourselves, all right, is that you've got to find, you know, that right level of saying, okay, I'm not going to reject everything because of doubt. I'm not going to just accept everything whenever I see it, but at least I will go ahead and I will examine things. Now, this human being has another problem. His problem is, Allah describes it in the Holy Quran, is ajal. Ajal is a sense of being hasty. Allah said in the Holy Quran, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلِ. The human being has been created hasty. As in, his nature is that, or her nature is, that they want to have some results quickly. And there couldn't have been a worse time than today, because people want answers like that, because the internet is available. You guys understand? Yeah? People will give you a question on WhatsApp and they want answers like that, because it's free, it comes really fast, and if you don't give it within a few seconds, then they're going to get upset with you. Now, Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to get us to understand, as human beings, our weakness is ajal. Our weakness is that we want things really quickly. What Allah wants to teach the human being is that take your time. Belief is something which you have to acquire, okay, steadily. You can't get all belief straight away. And if you, in the process of trying to look at my book, if you want to understand it very quickly, or if you want to make conclusions very quickly, then you're going to act out of your own hastiness. And because of that, you're going to end up rejecting the truth. So what Allah wants us to do is, Allah wants us to be, as human beings, He's telling us to be steady in our conclusions and to take a bit of time. Okay? Because a human being, when he's hasty or when they're hasty, a lot of problems happen. Like, for example, I'll be straight up, yeah? You know, most car accidents, why do they happen? There's a one element in there, which is obviously the human being takes a risk, or they are unaware of, you know, what they're doing. At the moment they're having the accident, or just before the moment they had the accident. But there's one thing, which is being hasty. If you want to do things quickly, because you're doing it so quickly, your attention doesn't go to the right place, and that's why there's an accident. Allah Azza wa Jal has filled the Quran up and told us where the human being will start to, even out of his own hasty, you know, approach, he'll even say, I don't care even if Allah curses this. This is in the Quran, okay? In the Holy Quran, Surah Yunus, ayah number 11. Surah number 10, ayah number 11. Allah says, وَلَوْ يُعَجِّلُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ الشَّرَّ اسْتِعْجَالَهُمْ بِالْخَيْرِ لَقُضِيَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَجَلُهُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal says that if Allah wanted to hasten for people the evil or the bad things, if Allah wanted to do that because the human being is fed up of asking Allah, says, okay, forget this, damn this, curse this. Allah said, well, I could have really cursed it, but I'm not as hasty as the human being. And I'm not, you know, Allah doesn't appreciate this hasty attitude that we've got, but it's a weakness that we have to understand that we have. So number one, doubt. Number two, ajal and this hasty attitude that we have. Another one Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that we've got a weakness of is that the human being, he has got an attachment inside him of hub and love. And if the love in his heart gets attached to the wrong thing, then he'll forget his Khaliq, he'll forget his Creator. Okay? It's been embedded within the human being for him to be tested. Certain loves have been given. Certain things in our hearts have been put inside there that we will love these things. Otherwise, we wouldn't operate the way we operate. Imagine Allah created the world, a world where men don't love women and women don't love men. The whole human generation would be destroyed in one generation. No man would ever marry a woman No woman would ever marry a man, and therefore they would not have children, and kaboom, the whole generation is wiped out. That's why one of the first things Allah started off saying is that حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. Allah said, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. I have given the humans, I have made it adorable for them to love women. Like this is for men towards women, and obviously the opposite is there, which is women to men. I've made men and women love one another. I put this in their system because Allah wants us to get together, He wants us to procreate, and He wants us to get in a life where we're going to test each other. The man tests the woman tests the man, the husband, you know, is a test for the for his wife, the wife is a test for her husband, and so on and so forth. Okay? So this is in the Quran, Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, and its ayah is at the beginning of Surah Ali Imran, and it's ayah number 14. Okay? So one is that. Another one, Allah said, Baneen. He's given love in the human being for children. The parents love children. Then Allah says, قَنَاطِيرُ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. To hoard gold, to hoard silver, to hoard like money is something that the human will love. Because Allah wants to test us with children and He wants to test us with the money. So He made us love those things. We'll have them and then He'll test us with it. Next one, Allah said, خَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ. The branded horses, which were horses reserved for races in those times. And in our times, it's like fast cars. In our time, it's like something that will give you a mark over other human beings in terms of, you know, what how fast you are in terms of speed or in terms of traveling and so on, okay? Next one, Allah has said, An'am wal harth. He has said, you know, animals or cattle, and hearth cultivation or by having land, okay? These things Allah has given us a love for. This is good for us, but it's also a test for us, and it's also a weakness of the human being. Because of the human being's love for these things, he starts to or she starts to forget the Khaliq, the Creator. Okay, this is a big weakness in the human being. And several places in the Quran, Allah has reminded us, He has said, like in one part of the Quran, Allah said, Kalla bal tuhibbuna al-ajila wa tadharuna al-akhira. O human being, you are, you know, you're loving, okay, you fall in love with the thing that you can acquire quickly. So you are haste and you like to acquire things really quickly, and this is your fault. That because of that, you've now shunned the akhirah, shunned the next world because of your love for this world. Okay, this is in surah number 75, Surah Qiyamah, and this is ayah number 20 and 21. Kalla bal tuhibbuna al-ajila. So basically, a human being is hasty, and the world is just there. You can acquire it straight away, but to acquire the akhirah is something that takes time. You have to exert a lot in this world, and you don't see any results until you die. So that is something which is far away, akhirah, it's coming next. But if I do something for this world, I see the results straight away. Like I invest the money, I see profit straight away. So I can see that straight away, I can feel it, I can enjoy it, I can take it back. If I marry a woman, or a woman marries a man, they can see the results straight away. Okay, they can see the results straight away. They love being in the company of one another. If I have children, someone has children, well, they love their children, they can see the results straight away. Whether it's, you know, cars or anything else, they can see the results and feel and get something in return. And this is why the human being will not connect up with his Khaliq, because he's after what's near and what's close to him. And in various ayats, Allah has said, look, you know, your problem is that if you carry on doing this, I will give you loads of the thing that you want right now. So Allah said, "Man kana yuridu al-ajila ajjalna lahu." Allah said that whosoever wants to get this quick and, you know, sort of quick running world and this quick achieving world, Allah said, "I'll ajjalna lahu." You know what? I'll make it happen really quickly for you. I'll give you this world, but then you will lose out in the akhirah. And after that, you're going to have Jahannam. You're going to have, you know, hellfire, because you shunned Akhirah. You disbelieved in me. You left this my way. And you went purely for the dunya. So this is in Surah Isra, Surah number 17, Ayah number 18. So if you really want it, I'll hasten for you. And then, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ. You know, you've only got hellfire that I've kept for you. And in the next verse, Allah says, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. Whoever actually desires or wants the akhirah, the next world, and they actually make some, they do some work to try and get the akhirah, Allah says, if you're a believer, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُ مَشْكُورًا. Your working for the akhirah is going to be appreciated. Okay, it's going to be appreciated. Now, what's the other thing that the human being has a problem with? The human being has a problem, okay, can you remember all the things I'm saying? So number one is the doubt. Number two is? Sorry? Hastiness. Number three is? Sorry? You're allowed losing me, eh? His what? His love. And I said to you one before that, which is his familiarity. So doubt, whatever the human being is familiar with, and so on. And I went into his hastiness, and I went into his love. Another problem with the human being is his use of logic with things he cannot see and comprehend. Okay? So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, look, you're going to make a big mistake. You know, normally logic is something that we want to use. Reasoning is something we want to use. And Allah has praised it in the Holy Quran. He said, أَفَلَا يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Don't they reason? Don't they think? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Use your intellect. Don't use your intellect. Allah said, أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Don't you sort of take a reminder from this? All these things. He wants us to reason, yes. But if you reason with something, or you start to make a logic with something which you cannot comprehend, which you cannot fully understand, or which you haven't seen, or which you cannot fully get your head around, then you've made a big mistake. Okay? So Allah Azza wa Jalla, you know, He even uses certain parts of the Quran to tell us, look, do you not see this? Do you not see this? Are they the same? These are things He wants us to think about. So for example, in the 22nd juz of the Holy Quran, this is Surah Fatir, Surah number 35, Allah says, وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرِ. The one who is blind and the one who sees, they're not equal. Okay, listen to Allah's reasoning. They're not equal. وَلَا الظُّلُمَاتُ وَلَا النُّورِ. In the next verse. Neither darkness and light are equal. Then he says, وَلَا الظِّلُّ وَلَا الْحَرُورِ. Nor is the shade and being outside of the shade in the sun ray, nor is that equal. وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَحْيَا وَلَا الْأَمْوَاتِ. Nor are the living and the dead equal. Okay? No other living or the dead equal. Now, what Allah Azza wa Jalla is trying to do with these ayats, and there are many different ayats in the Holy Quran like this, is Allah is trying to tell us that, do you think the people who believe and don't believe are going to be treated equally? Do you think, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ? Do you think the people who know and the people who don't know, they should be treated equally? What are you saying? So what Allah wants us to do is that think about these verses and say that the life of this world and their next life is never going to be equal. Things are going to be very different. And the way we can see a blind person and a person who sees, they're very different. Why? Because the one who has the sight of belief and the Quran is going to be very different from the one who doesn't have belief and that doesn't have that insight. So Allah is triggering a lot of thought inside us, yes. But where the human being makes a mistake is, he sees something in this world and he starts to question God because of it. And he says, well, how come this and how come that? So for example, there's human beings that have taken raw material of, let's say, for example, a dead bone. They've taken a dead bone. And this happened in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. One of his enemies took a dead bone that was old, that has been down there for a long time, and he was already crumbling. So what he did is took the dead bone in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, he crushed it, he crushed the bone, And as he crushed it, he then opened it, there was dust in there, and he went, I blew, and he said, you telling me that God's going to bring this back to life again? Now, what he's done is that the human being has taken something which is tangible, something he sees, something which he can examine, and he's then now he's made an analogy between this and the Akhirah, and he said, well, we're not going to come back to life because this thing is dead and this thing, you know, is crumbled to pieces. And do you think that this Allah is going to make this thing come back alive again? So you can see where the logic has gone wrong, because Allah Azza wa Jal then talks back and he gives a verse of the Quran and he tells the human being where he's gone wrong. And this is in Surah Yasin, which is Surah number 36. Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانِ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ. Allah says that, has this human being forgot that I created him in the first place? مِن نُطْفَى, and I created him. Wait, hang on a minute. You got bones, yeah? You just crushed a bone in your hand and you just went, in my beloved's face, and you said, how can I create that? Oh, by the way, oh yeah, you've got bones inside you, haven't you? Yeah? You've got bones inside you, haven't you? Like, okay, if you look at the human being, like the human being that questioned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, does he have bones in his body, yes or no? Yes? So these bones give him his whole structure. Yes? They give him his strength. They give him his ability to hold his mouth in place and then to use his tongue and his jaws to move them and to actually speak and to argue with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to argue with Allah. Yes? Allah said, hang on a minute. When I created you min nutfa. I created you from a water, okay, coming from your father, which is a water that, you know, people would not even want to smell. Nutfa. I created you from that sperm, and that, hang on a minute, that doesn't have any bones in it. Does that have any bones in it? No. So you were created from that, and then suddenly you had bones. So don't you even think about yourself, how did you get your bones? Now that you hold a bone in your hand and you crumble it and you blow it, where did you get your bones from which you got your structure, from which you got your jaws, all right, in your face, and from فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُّبِينٌ, and now you are a clear argumentative person. This is in Surah Yasin, ayah number 77. وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا, he gives me an example with the dead bone and blows it. وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا, yet he forgets how he was created. قَالَ, he says, مَنْ يُحِي الْعِظَامِ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ, how will Allah bring back these bones alive when they're completely disintegrated, when they're completely gone? And he forgets about his own creation. قُلْ يُحِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً, tell him that the one who created the bones in the first place is going to create it a second time. So here's where the human's logic has failed him. Because the human looked at something which is seen, which is tangible, which is something which he can, you know, examine. And from that he made a conclusion with what has not been seen. Okay, which is in the afterworld, something that is non-tangible. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal puts this down in the Quran for the human being to understand that his logic should not be used in the things that are from the ghaib. When the ghaib or the unseen, there has to be, you know, through this Quran, once you've examined this Quran, once you see this Quran, Allah is asking us to put belief in the unseen, belief in Allah, belief in the angels, belief in the jinns, belief in whatever is in the unseen, okay? Especially the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal has got a whole akhirah and a whole afterworld that is coming. If the human being uses his logic with the things that he sees and he starts to examine, he's going to make a massive error with the way he's going, okay? So again, what have I said to you? What's the first weakness that he's got? Doubt. Another one I talked about, when he's unfamiliar with something, he doesn't want to accept it. Another one I said? Hastiness. Okay, he's hasty to want to do things. Another one? Love for things. He attaches himself to things, or she attaches them. Then because of that, they leave the Khaliq. Another one? Sorry? This not to use the logic in things that he hasn't seen or she hasn't seen, and therefore cut themselves off the Khaliq and cut themselves off the Creator. Another one which Allah Azza wa Jal discusses is the human being, okay, in his basic nature, loves the fact that he's got problems out the way and he's having a good time. The human being is overjoyed. The human being wants to have a party, basically. He wants to be, he's thrilled, she's thrilled. Okay, but this moment that there is some problem, the human being starts to moan, the human being starts to complain, the human being says, why this, why that? This is in the basic nature of the human being, and it's a massive weakness. Okay, so this has been discussed in a few places of the Holy Quran, and I'm going to give you one example of it, which is in Surah Ma'arij. Okay, Surah Ma'arij, which is Surah number 69. Sorry, Surah number 70, and Allah Azza wa Jal discusses this in Surah 70, ayah number 19. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. Now, what Allah Azza wa Jal says is that when the human being gets something, and they've just achieved some good, manu'a, they don't want to give it to anybody else. The human being in his nature wants to carry on accumulating things for himself, for herself, because this gives them a sense of independence and it gives them a sense of power. Okay? Now, what happens is, for example, a human being has got, let's say, money. The human being wants to collect more and more and more money, and the human being doesn't want to share it. This is the common human being. For example, you know that across the world, there are many people who are rich people who never, you know, there are some people, mashallah, they look after the poor. And there's many of them outside there, they don't look after the poor people. But the essence of it is, when the human being has got something, the human being doesn't want to give it, right? You give a human being, you give them the gift of time. Not every human being wants to share their time with others. You give the human being the gift of knowledge. Not every human being wants to share the knowledge with others. Okay? You give the human being certain expertise. Not every human being wants to share the expertise with others. Manu'a, they want to keep it to themselves. But if the human being finds himself needing someone else, like let's say, for example, this human being who doesn't want to give to others, who doesn't want to help others, somebody else, some other human being comes and helps them, or offers them money, or offers them a favor, are they going to say no? Or are they going to say yes? They're going to say, oh, mashallah, marhaba, you're a beautiful guy, man, come over here, give me more. So Allah says, you know, when they're on the receiving end, they want to carry on taking. When the human being is on the giving end, he doesn't want to do it. Right? This is the nature of the human being. Now, when Allah says, when I give the human being rahmah, when I give him mercy, when I give something good, the human being, forget not giving to others, the human being wants to walk away from me as the Khaliq, as the giver. When I don't give, then the human being is there begging, and the human being there is their calling. What's better for Allah to do? Like Allah's, let's just imagine Allah's got a choice. He can give this human being, and when he gives the human being more and more and more and more, the human being slowly, slowly with his independency or her independency wants to sort of say, well, you know, I want to keep to myself. I'm really blessed. I don't have to give it to anyone else. I'm okay. I'm fine with my life. I don't need anyone. I don't even need God in my life. That's scenario one. Scenario two is Allah takes things off the human being, or Allah doesn't give the human being certain gifts, and therefore the human being is compelled and obliged to come to Allah and to beseech Allah for help. Which one is better for the human being? Number one or number two? Ah, but we don't like number two, do we? Do you guys understand? We hate number two. We love number one, which is carry on receiving from Allah. Du'as are answered. You know, my house is getting bigger. My expense is getting, you know, less. And my gifts are getting more. And my love on the earth is more and more. You know, we love that. But if those things go away, we hate it. But if you understand what I've just said, you can understand what Allah Azza wa Jalla does a lot of the times with human beings. So he's explained this in the Holy Quran. And he said, well, this is a very big problem of the human being. And I'm going to give you a few places, and if I can put that in the time. So number one, this is in Surah Zumar, Surah number 39, ayah number 8. Allah says, وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ الضُّرُّ. When an affliction befalls the human being, دَعَى رَبَّهُ مُنِيبًا إِلَيْهِ, this human being starts to make lengthy du'as to me. Right? In Surah Hamim al-Sajda, Allah said, فَذُو دُعَاءٍ عَرِيضٍ, which is, he makes a lengthy du'a, to try and get my mercy. So this is in Surah number 41, Ayah number 51. That's what he said over there. Over here in Surah Zumar, Allah says, مُنِيبًا إِلَيْهِ, he completely turns to me. ثُمَّ إِذَا خَوَّلَهُ نِعْمَةً. When I prepare for this human being and I offer the human being and I give it to him, what do I give? I give him a blessing. نَسِيَ مَا كَانَ يَدُعُوا إِلَيْهِ. He forgets the fact that he even made dua to me beforehand. He forgets the whole experience that he made dua to me. And Allah says, وَإِن مَسَّهُ شَرُّ فَيَأُوسٌ قَنُوطٌ. This is in Surah number 41, ayah number 49. That if any kind of mishappening, any kind of tribulation, any kind of, you know, bad occurrence befalls this human being, فَيَأُوسٌ قَنُوطٌ, he loses hope, and he also, you know, he becomes someone who's totally lost hope. Ya'us qanut, right? He becomes, you know, very much feeling that I'm finished, I'm done. Okay, and in Surah Yunus, Allah Azza wa Jal says another thing. Allah in Surah Yunus, which is again Surah number 10. This is Surah 10, ayah number 12. Allah says, وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ الضُّرُّ, when an affliction befalls this human being, Da'ana, he calls us, Allah says, calls me, li jambihi, when he's lying down, he calls me, aw qa'idan, he's sitting down, he calls me, aw qa'iman, when he's standing, he calls me. So standing, sitting, lying down, he calls me. Falamma kashafna anhu durra, when I take away from him his problem, marra ka'allam yad'una ila durrin massa, he walks past as if he never ever told me to remove his trouble from him. Like he will walk past, whether it's a masjid, he'll walk past. He'll walk past the Quran. He'll walk past people calling to the Quran. He'll walk past, you know, Sabirullah or any way of Allah. He'll walk past as if he never needed Allah in his life. Okay? So this is another human being problem, which is that the human being in his nature, when he doesn't receive, he starts to fall apart. She falls apart. Oh, look at me. Oh, I don't have anything. Oh, so everyone else has got everything else. Oh, I'm left with that. Okay, it's this whole complaint, this whole nature of I don't have anything, this whole emptiness. Okay, this is a real human problem. And then within that, they sometimes even cut off from God. Sometimes they do come to God, and sometimes they just move away from Al-Khaliq. Some human beings do that, okay? You might have seen some human beings, when the crisis comes, they come to Allah. And some human beings, when a crisis comes, they move away from God. They say, well, why should I? If he's like that with me, then why should I go to him? Why should I worship him, right? Now, there's other human beings whom Allah has blessed. Again, there's two categories from them. Some Allah has blessed who are blessed and they come to Allah. And some Allah has blessed and they move away from Allah. Now, let's look at the stats. Of the people who Allah gave a lot of gifts to, of those people, let's say the category one, Allah gave a lot of gifts to, are there more people after receiving gifts, they turn to Allah, or are there more people who turned away from Allah? From that group, which one? Turn towards him or turns away from him? Away from him. And from the second category, whom Allah Azza wa Jal has not blessed so much. He's given them blessings, but not so much. There's two categories. Those who turn towards Allah because, you know, they really need Him, and those who turned away from Allah, which one is more? Turn towards or turned away? Towards. Amongst the fuqara, amongst the poor people, amongst the people who don't have much, amongst the non-intelligent people, amongst the people who don't have much money, much gifts, much this, that, right? There's more that have turned towards Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay, but anyway, the weakness that I wanted to point towards is that the human in his nature, in her nature, wants to complain and wants to feel like they are total loss when they don't have something. But the human being that actually receives something, Allah's said in the Holy Quran that they could actually walk away from me, or they, you know, we know from some parts of the Quran, they could actually connect with Allah Azza wa Jal, but most of the time they disconnect from Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is another weakness. Let's go through the weaknesses again. The first one I talked about is what? Doubt. The second one? The familiarity thing. The third one? Love. The fourth one? Sorry? Hastiness. The fifth one? Logic and reasoning not to use in the ghaib. Okay, the sixth one? No, the sixth one. The one that I just discussed now, which is the human being, when he receives gifts, turning away from Allah, and when he doesn't get gifts, you know, sometimes they come towards Allah. This is the weakness. The weakness is that they, when they don't receive something from Allah, they want to, you know, complain, and they want to, you know, be in that nature of not wanting to share, not wanting to give others. So there's a basic problem within the human being in terms of that. And the final one, which I'm going to give seven. The final one is, and there's many in the Quran, but within the time limit that we've got, I've got to just choose some according to this theme of understanding the human being. The final one that we've got is this thing where the human being feels that it has got freedom. The more freedoms given to the human being, the more that human has destroyed itself. The less freedom the human has, the more it will continue to produce good things on the earth as a human being and feel a reason to be connected with Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay? Maybe it's clicked with some of you, maybe it hasn't. Let's talk about it. There are people who haven't got any responsibilities, or they haven't got the troubles that we have in terms of the burdens that we have. There are humans who don't have that. If you've got responsibility, and if you've got burden, and if you've got a need to actually have to go out there and work, and you know, you have to basically pay your bills. Okay, let's say, for example, you have to pay your bills. So are you going to work, or are you not going to work? Tell me. You're going to work because it's forcing you to work. Your condition is forcing you to work. Your freedom is limited. Your freedom is limited. You have to work to pay the bills. So you're going to go out to work. Imagine the person who actually doesn't have the need to work. Let's say, for example, there's this kid who's, let's say he's 20-something years old. His dad left a very good inheritance for him. He's got millions in the bank. He doesn't have to work, okay? Will he go to work? Most likely not. He's not going to go to work. And the person who's actually working, who has to work, do you think they're going to get up to a lot of mischief, yes or no? Not necessarily. But the person who's got loads of money in the bank and they don't have to work, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to go slowly towards mischief. Let me give you another example if you don't actually believe me, okay? You know, sometimes you have in family members or in your relatives or friends, sometimes you have these certain people who talk a lot about people. They sit there, they talk about so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Oh, did you hear this happened? Oh, she had a bad thing in this. Oh, did you hear? Oh, he acquired this thing. Oh, how did he get that money? Oh, how did he, you know, get this gift of his... There's certain people who chat, not about other people. And there are certain people who don't actually talk like that. There are certain people who don't talk like that. Have you noticed people who don't have work, people who are like on the benefits, people who got loads of time to themselves, from amongst them, there's a high amount of people who want to chat, not about others. Because they haven't got anything else to do. You understand? They haven't got anything else to do. What are you going to do all day? Well, let's just chat about people. Oh, yeah, let's chat all day. People who are busy, who've got work, who've got a job, who've got a schedule that's busy, they haven't got time for the chit-chat, small talk. When you are totally free with something, you've got time to have all of that. Let me give you another example. You're coming in this masjid every week, every day, whatever, you're coming in this masjid. You haven't got time to observe every little thing that's not right here. You haven't got time for that. But if this was a hospital, and there was a hospital bed here, and I stationed you in that hospital bed for 1 month, you're in the same place for 1 month, what are you going to be doing when you look at this place? You're going to observe every single part and you're going to find every single thing that is wrong. In fact, you'll probably memorize how many defects and exactly which place those defects are because you've got nothing else to do. Right? Now, this is the problem with the human being which Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in the Holy Quran. This is in Surah Iqra or Surah Alaq and 96 Surah. And Allah Azza wa Jal has said in ayah number 6 and ayah number 7, Allah says, "Kalla innal insana layatgha ar-ra'ahu istaghna." Allah says, there's no other reason. But the human being exceeds my limits, exceeds my boundaries, starts to commit sins, starts to disbelieve and starts to disobey me and starts to do things I've told him not to do, I've told her not to do. أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. When they feel they actually are so independent, they have so much freedom, they have so many blessings from me that they don't even need me. When Allah Azza wa Jal gives the human being so many things, so many gifts and so on, and the human being actually feels that I'm independent from even wanting to have any necessity, and I've got so many things in my life that I'm actually independent. I don't need anyone. I don't need other human beings. I don't need, whatever extra blessings that God's going to give me. Well, I've got enough anyway. Why do I need God? That's a big reason why the human being starts to exceed limits, starts to create, starts to commit sins. And that's a huge reason why the human being feels that they don't even need God, because they've got too much freedom. When you put a human being in all these laws, like for example, you and me are not going to commit crimes outside there, because there's a law around us that's going to take us to prison, take us to court, and then probably possibly prison. So people like us are going to be outside the obeying rules. Imagine there was a really, really, high wealthy person who's got so much money or political power that they can actually buy out the police, or they can bribe the judges, or they've got so much clout that, that they're a public figure or a public star that no one's ever going to talk about them, bad and take them down. Even if they do talk about them, they've got so many connections with the political world that they're untouchable. Do you think they're going to be obeying the laws out there, or do you think they're going to be disobeying them? There's more chances they're going to disobey them, right? That Mr. Jim will fix it. Remember Jim will fix it? And Jimmy Savile. Remember him? You don't remember him. If you don't know about him, you can search about him, right? How many patients he abused because he had that power. He had that sense of total, disregard for people, because he's so independent. He's untouchable. And when the human being in any way becomes untouchable, becomes someone who's not bound by rules, who's not bound by responsibility, who's not bound by certain laws and can't be taken to task, the human being will do whatever they want. And one of the things is, when the human being feels that I'm not going to be questioned in the, or they don't actually, you know, they don't bring it in mind that I'm going to be questioned the day of judgment. I'm going to return on the day of judgment. When the human being feels that, you know what, I haven't even got that worry that I'm going to be questioned on the day of judgment. I've got no worry about hell. I've got no worry about the akhirah. When that happens, the human being is capable of doing anything, absolutely anything. Now, it's one of the worst things the human being can have, which is total freedom or total, you know, independency from everyone else, or not having anything that binds him or binds her in terms of laws and in terms of responsibilities. They are capable of doing anything. And it's a real big danger to give human beings that much freedom. That is why Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, He says, And you got to understand this, okay? I want you to understand this. Allah, in no way is Allah Azza wa Jal evil. In no way does He ever oppress anyone. But Allah Azza wa Jal has said it in the Holy Quran, in Surah number 90, ayah number 4, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. I have created the human being in turmoil. Meaning that I've created the human being, when the human being is out of one problem, Slowly, he'll find himself with another problem to solve. It's not that every problem is a bad thing. No. Allah Azza wa Jal takes us from one problematic situation. Let's say we got over that and we solved that. And then we move on. He gives us some delight. And then slowly after a little while, inna ma'al usri yusra, with every difficulty there's ease. When the difficulty has gone, we find ease. And then we fall into another difficulty. Why? Because Allah wants to give us another problem to solve. He wants us to be busy with that problem. And then we do our best to get out of that problem in life. And then we get out of that problem and we have some delight. And Allah gives us relief. And then He puts us in another problem. Another problem for us to solve. Okay? Why does Allah do this? Anyone answer that from what I just said earlier on? Why does Allah do this? Because? Something else. Why does Allah keep on putting us like kabad? One problem you solve, it gives you some delight, then another problem to solve, and then another problematic situation in life, and then another problem. Why does Allah do that? Now, what's the last one I said? What's the last one out of seven I said? Freedom. So that the human being doesn't have what? Total independency from God. Total freedom with no problems. Because a human being that does that is going to become a real problem. They say, it's in the Israeli riwayat, they say that, you know, Fir'aun never suffered a headache in his life. He was powerful, he was mighty, he was very healthy, he was rich, he was clever, he was intelligent, he had courage, he was blessed so much, he never even had a headache in his life. So basically he was like kind of, you know, super independent in terms of his nature, his character. And that's why Fir'aun became Fir'aun. Fir'aun became one of the biggest zalims, biggest oppressors you can have. Today's world, you look at some of these big oppressors. I'm not going to say any names, or big oppressors. You see, they've got exactly the same thing. They've got a lot of good health, a lot of wealth. They've got a lot of might, a lot of power, a lot of intellect, intelligence. They've got a lot of clout. They've got a lot of dignity. And with all of that, because Allah has made them independent, He's given so much freedom to them, they end up doing what they do. They end up becoming oppressors. Not every person like that will become like this, but many of them out there, you look at it, they become like that. So that's a human weakness, and Allah Azza wa Jal restricts us in this world for the reason that He doesn't want us to fall into a place where we've got independency from God. So quickly summarizing the things that we said to the nature of this human being. Number one was what? Doubt is problem. Number two, the whole familiarity thing. Okay. Number three, the haste. Three was what? Was three was love? Yeah. If you say that, then number four was the hastiness. Number five was the logical reasoning in the unseen. Number six was when he receives gifts, what happens to him, okay? In terms of complaining or turning away from God. But the worst one, number seven, is when Allah gives too much freedom, too much independency, that human being is totally lost. And Allah has explained that in the whole Quran. Today's theme was to understand the human being from the Quran. Then next week what we'll do is we'll understand Allah Azza wa Jal and how he wants to make that makhluq, the creation, join back up with the Khaliq, the creator. Are there any questions that you have for today? Today's session. Yes? Sorry? Was this, the sixth one was the one that, you know, when they're receiving the gifts and they their nature of complaining and so on. No.
Oh, the fifth one.
Yeah, you see, the seventh. Yes?
The question I would like to know also, it's written in the Quran, it's a good person, someone died in the name of Allah. In the eyes of Allah, it's not dead, it's still alive.
Yes. Okay, well, I'll explain that in a bit, but let me just, any questions that are related to the subject matter? Today's subject that we discussed about the Quranic themes about the human being. Anyone got any questions on what I've said today? Yes?
Someone has a doubt. How can he come out from this?
From the doubt, yeah. Okay, good. That is a, you know, that question you said in 10 seconds, but the answer is going to take way more than 10 minutes, probably an hour or whatever. So I can't answer that one right now. But inshallah, another session, we can deal with this, right?
Why I'm asking, because I know some Muslim colleagues who totally don't believe that.
Yeah. They because each doubt requires a different answer. Each type of doubt has to be examined independently. And inshallah, when we get to some other part, inshallah, we'll try and get to that. But just to answer that brother's question, because nobody else has got questions on the actual theme itself. Yes?
How to control the mind? Because it's all about the mindset.
Mindset. Again, that's not related to the subject matter. So I'm going to quickly answer the brother's question. The when Allah Azza wa Jalla says certain people that are dead, they're alive, they're the shuhada, okay? And what it means is that they are not like ordinary dead people. Ordinary dead people, if you were to dig up their graves, you will see that there's probably bones there and they're deteriorated. But the shuhada, their body will remain completely intact in their graves. That's one. Second is Allah Azza wa Jalla gives them a special place in the akhirah, where he puts their souls into green birds, and those green birds roam around Jannah and even go and sit on one of the corners of Allah's arsh and throne. And they are given this special roaming and a special way of being gifted by Allah. And Allah says he provides them as well. Normal souls that have died, even if they go to the heavens, they're in a different place in Illiyin. Allah makes these souls go beyond Illiyin. So they've got a much better life than others. So he refers to them as, don't say they're dead, they're alive, as in they're roaming around in the Akhirah. Okay? So let's leave it there, inshallah. The Adhan will go, will be said right now. And inshallah, next week after Maghrib, I'll see you again with another part of this series. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذكر علم ونور الحاملات سنا ونور والرسمات هنا سرور يا حلوى تلك السنين.
The Safar curriculum covers all the Islamic educational needs of young Muslims today in a fun, simple and engaging way. Tried and tested for over 15 years at one of the UK's leading maktabs. The curriculum has been adopted by hundreds of institutions around the world and makes your child's journey in seeking knowledge easy, meaningful and dynamic. This innovative and comprehensive curriculum covers Quran and Tajweed, Islamic studies, du'as and surahs, as well as Arabic in an integrated and structured way. Visit safarpublications.org to find out more.